Hi everyone, it's Quizstries time. Even though, you know, this is the first episode, can you believe it, of the new year, despite it being the 25th of February when we're recording this.
It's been kind of a slow start to the year for everyone, I think.
Yeah, I would feel bad, but I literally pay for a podcast, like I'm on their Patreon, and they've released two episodes at the very, very end of January and midway through February, because they were like, oh, people are paying for Patreon. So I'm like, no one's paying for this. I don't feel guilty about vanishing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a little break, a little time off. It was the holidays.
Exactly. Well, we took a break for Christmas, and then Charlie's been ill a lot, and then I was away one weekend, and then I got COVID. So it's you know,
it's just always been one up.
Yeah, it's just been one sort of bad like situation after another. It's always been an issue, but I'm available today, and you're available, and I was like, we need to get an episode out.
Yes.
So yeah, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, that's not Charlie, we are joined by friend of the pod and frequent guest host, Zar.
Hi everybody, I'm Zar from online.
From the internet and everything. And how are you? How have you been?
I've been living the dream. I was rear-ended recently, that was very exciting.
Your car or in the bedroom?
No, in my car. I got hit by some bastard who ran a stop sign. We were both trying to beat a train, and he just plowed into me. But my car is okay, and I'm okay. It just kind of...
I'm glad you're okay, and that the car's okay. That's awful.
Yeah, no, it's never something that you're like, yay, I've been in an accident.
Yeah. Right. Well, I've not been in any accidents, but I did catch COVID while watching Sophie Ellis Bextor perform Abutments. So that was fun.
Was it an even trade-off?
Do you know what? She was very good. She was very good. So
sometimes it's worth it.
Yeah. Plus, I got, you know, time off work, so I swing some roundabouts. Time off work and Pokemon Legends Arceus had just come out, so like
kind of like a perfect storm, like really good timing.
Exactly. I mean, it weren't fun, it sucked, but you know,
it could be worse.
There were good sides. It could have been worse. It could have been much worse. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, today I have a wee little case for us. This was my friend Audio brought this to my attention. We were chatting the other day on a Discord server. This is the very obscure disappearance of Joanna Lopez.
Joanna Lopez.
Now this one's mysterious because we basically know nothing about Joanna. I've got a Reddit post from Reddit user Chris Polygon, which is an interesting name. And I'm going to read that out for us. On January 14th, 1989, on the NBC television affiliate WMAQ in Chicago, that's not a punchy acronym. That's no NBC. No. WMAQ.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. No one's like, oh, I've been watching that good old WMAQ. Sorry. But yeah, WMAQ in Chicago, right after the channel signed off for the early morning, a missing person poster was shown for the rest of the morning until the channel signed on again. The image shown on the missing person poster was that of a person with the name Joanna Lopez. The quality of the image is so low that it is very hard to make out the face and known details of Joanna Lopez's appearance. Now, there weren't, like, recordings and everything, like... And people who remember this at the time, you'd think it was a creepypasta if you saw the fucking photo. Like, that's right. How bad it is.
It's just so overexposed. She's kind of like a spooky girl.
very, very overexposed. Like, I'll put a picture on Twitter, but it's like, it's so bad. Like, I don't really know. I'm pretty sure it's black and white as well. Let me go look.
It is.
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't know how they expected anyone to identify this woman.
And nobody did, despite it being like...
Well, we don't actually know whether anyone did or not. This is an interesting missing persons case, because we don't actually know whether she got found. Mm-hmm. So along with the image of Joanna Lopez, there was a white ribbon design on the left-hand side of the screen, which said missing, and then the text underneath said, call 312-744-5594. Beside these details, there's no audio accompanying the missing poster. Like, there were other TV stations that have done, like, missing person PSAs or whatever, when they've been, like...
Right, but there will always be, like, some information like, about the people.
There would be information. It wouldn't just be, like, silent, here's a photo.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say anything about her, like her age, her height, nothing. Just Joanna Lopez, the worst quality photo you've ever seen. Call this number. The WMAQ channel also showed the same poster after signing off in 1991, which was two fucking years after the first one. Where it was shown for about 10 seconds before switching to colour bars and a tone. The quality of the image in this version was slightly higher than the 1989 version. It's still the same image, but I don't know what the fucking broadcasting technology got better, but it seems it was only shown for like...
Just a little 10 bit.
10 seconds? Yeah. I've just looked at it. That is slightly better quality, but it's... God, it's actually quite a creepy photo, if I'm honest.
That just raises more questions, though. I bet it was like some sort of error.
You really would think it's some kind of, like, creepypasta. I'm like, how have you fucking, like, aired the, like, you know, it's just such a bad image. And I'm guessing the 1991 airing of it must have been an accident if they only showed it for 10 seconds.
Right, that would be like a blink and you miss it kind of moment.
Yeah. This person said they've looked through... the Namus, Charlie Project, and NCMEC websites, which are all ones that list missing people, etc., and found no recorded appearance of the name Joanna Lopez in their databases at all. And he's also looked up Joanna Lopez missing 1989 on Google, and no news article or newspapers show up with any details. The missing person poster after sign-off might be one of the most mysterious potential missing person cases on the internet due to the sheer lack of any information relating to the individual's disappearance and the organisation or government agency that created the poster and decided to show it in a television station's sign-off. I assume when they say that they it was the sign-off showed in the early morning. That when they say early morning, they mean, like, late night early morning?
Yeah, like, late night early morning, because usually the... At least the American
like
TV stations...
Like, 1 a.m. 2 a.m. Yep. Yeah.
And then they'll sign off, and then usually it will just be, like... I mean, back in the day, it was...
Off-air, yeah.
Yeah, we're off-air. Now it's, like, infomercials and paid programming.
We still have, like, channel off-air and nothing... Most channels are like infomercials or whatever, but obviously BBC don't advertise. So yeah, no, they sort of sign off and they're just off.
Good for them taking a break.
The fucking kids channels sign off at like 6 p.m.
Good night, kids. No more cartoons.
CBeebies, I think it's like 6 or 7 p.m. You're like, what? But yeah. They're like, right, off to bed, you little shits. I can understand that for CBeebies for the toddlers, but CBBC could have gone an extra hour, but no, they nope, sign off as well. They're like, right, off to bed.
They all need
go
rest.
Do your homework, you cheeky fuck. But yeah. Yeah, so I guess this was just left on all fucking night. With no information. That's weird.
Which absolutely would have scared the crap out of me. if I had woken up and seen that. Yeah,
well, some people are trying to work out whether it's fake or not. It seems like this is something that was done before. Like, when channels would go off air, they would sometimes show missing person PSAs.
Mm-hmm.
There's 4 different examples of this happening listed in this post. And they're sort of a similar design, but these were on CBS from 1985 to 1986, so it's not the same channel, but, you know, that doesn't mean that these aren't legitimate. Those one also have details about the missing person. They have voiceovers and, like,
right,
images in colour and have detail, like...
Right, like,
there's a lot more to it than just...
Like, growing up, when I would watch TV, it would always be like, you know, like, at the end of the news, they would show, these are people that are missing in the area, and, you know, this person, this is their age, this is where they were last seen, here's a picture, and then move on to the next. So I get that, but this is super weird, because there was just nothing, just no sound, just the tone, and the call, the number, and all the other, at least when I was growing up, the missing person announcements that I would see would say, you know, this is by the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, or, like, what kind of organization was sponsoring this, like, search for missing people.
Yeah. This is, they added an update. Oh, no, they didn't add an update. Sorry. Going into the comments, Reddit user queenof-brokenhearts said, "While this one is strange," and I found the number listed, and it is in regional directory rape prevention and treatment resources from January 1979, and it's just a list of, like, it's a directory and stuff, and that number is listed as the Youth Division of the Chicago Police Department. So it was a number that was at one point registered to the police.
And to the youth division specifically.
Yeah. Some people are theorizing that maybe she escaped some kind of juvenile detention or probation. But yeah.
You can't help but wonder someone else. It only showed that one time. I can't help but wonder if maybe she was just found right away. Like, if she did run away or something.
It was shown... Well, this person says, in a reply to someone saying, it sounds like she escaped a juvenile detention or probation, someone else then replied and said, if it weren't for the reappearance of the photo 2 years later, I'd be inclined to believe that's what happened. Mm. But then she was found and returned, with the case never having a chance to escalate. However, the fact it then aired again in 1991 makes it seem that she was never found. And in the pre-internet days, her case just sort of slipped through the cracks. But I don't necessarily... I think that the 1991 showing, considering they showed it for just 10 seconds before the channel went off air...
was probably like a mistake.
And the fact that what they showed after was test... Like the car test bars and stuff.
Yep.
Like a test car. Yeah, yeah, like... It's seems like that was just, it was in the same sort of pool of resources for things that they air,
yeah, maybe
when they're off air, like a test card or whatever, so someone just put that up instead of a test card, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that was saved as like a sign off resource, and then they were just pulling through sign off resources and just accidentally it just accidentally happened. And then they were just like,
whoops. Exactly.
Take it out.
I don't know how TV worked in the fucking late 80s, early 90s, but, like, whether it was, I assume that this was digital in some sense, and there was some, you know.
Right.
Resources might have been in a folder, someone selected the wrong one on a computer system briefly and then rectified it. Like, I don't know. Someone else said, Lord Voldemort 888 said, "My God, the picture quality is so bad, it looks like an alien." And it is so piss poor.
It is. It's very scary looking.
Genuinely, like, I can't tell where the eyes are.
It's, you know.
I sort of can. You can't really tell where the eyes are. I don't even know what race this person is. Like, because it's black and white. I can make an assumption from the name Joanna Lopez, but...
But still. There was... I remember watching a video about this, and I remember somebody bringing up that there was a body, that there were, like, pictures of the body, or, like, a recreation, a digital recreation of the body, from the Doe Network, I believe, that they kind of thought maybe looked like her. A little bit. Let me do some digging and see if I can find it.
It's such a poor quality photo. You could really match anything to it.
That's also true. Because it's...
Like, it could be anything. Someone else, Reddit user Lilith Desard, replied to Lord Voldemort 888, said it must be a photocopy of a missing person's flyer, and that's why the quality is so poor, which would make sense, I agree, because, like... Not that the original photo probably was that excellent quality to begin with, but it's right. So bad. And I think that contributes to the black and white. Because why would you put it in, you know?
Right.
They had fucking color TV. The image doesn't need to be in black and white, but if it was a photocopy.
What really gets
or scanned
me is,
from a missing post. Yeah.
But what really gets me is that the 1991 one had a better quality image. That's what also it makes it even weirder if it was like just a quick mistake. Why was the image quality so much better? I wonder if it was because of the just maybe the quality of the broadcast was better in the years following. But
the quality is better on the recording that we have from 1991, but that could be down to better quality of videotape rather than better quality.
Right.
Because it looks like the same image to me.
Right. Just a tiny bit clearer, but maybe it was just a flaw in the recording process. Since it was I feel like without a doubt it is probably a very overexposed image. Even if we had like a perfect recording of it.
Yeah. It's just, I think even if you had like full 4K of that image, that is just not good image.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, this is really interesting, so I need to read it out. Reddit user MSM1969 said, I was missing from the age of 14 till I was 19, and the juvenile authorities were not pursuing me anymore. So it's very possible she was found alive. Let's hope so. And Reddit user Bailey Uwu asked the question that I'm sure we're all thinking, why were you missing for 4 years? That's a scary amount of time for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And they replied, I was placed in an abusive residential group home age 11, ran away at age 14, lived under the radar, so I thought they weren't looking for me, and it was the 80s, so I got some cleaning, cash-in-hand jobs, worked at McDonald's at 15 under false details, stayed wherever they could. It was hard. There were bad times. They also had two children at 16 and 18. Bloody hell.
Oh,
all while missing from care. So that's fucking hell. They've been through a lot of shit. I'm glad they're okay now. There's a fucking survivor. But yeah, people go missing and the juvenile authorities just like. This may well have been just a missing person. And then was found alive, you know.
And then maybe there was just nobody that would be able to just be like, hey, we found her, don't worry about it. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, the fact that she's not on any database or anything implies that
right.
She's not missing anymore. They did air it once for 10 seconds in 1991, but I'm not convinced that wasn't a mistake. If you only air a missing person's case once, I mean, they went to the effort of sending a photo and a name to a local television station. I know that's not tons of effort, but they, you know,
at least they put like a little work in there.
They had to arrange it and probably made a poster at the time. Maybe they didn't put tons of effort into searching for this person, but you think
right.
If the case was still open, they wouldn't have closed it. I don't know. It would be a cold case, but it wouldn't, you know.
Right.
This person said, the original poster said they submitted a FOIA request to the Chicago Police Department. someone asked, a deleted user asked for updates, and he said the terms of my FOIA request were too broad for the CPD to effectively look through their records for information regarding missing persons in the 1980s and 1990s, which meant that the request was rejected. So I'm going to submit an additional, more specific FOIA request to the Chicago Police Department for any potential information about Joanna Lopez's disappearance. Someone else said, well, that's getting sketchy. Try again. We believe in you. They got a reply from the CPD stating there are no positive results for a person named Joanna Lopez in their databases for the years 1988 to 1991. So the FOIA request they made was unsuccessful in discovering more details. So that there's not even a record, what it seems.
That's so weird. Oh my God. I guess...
Someone else suggested an email should be sent to the Classic Chicago Television, the Museum of Classic Chicago Television, to see if they have any kind of like
recordings from there.
Or any information about the broadcast itself. Apparently, the OP did mention the TV broadcast heavily in the FOIA request and included the video of the TV sign off and the screenshot of the missing person poster. An email was sent to the Museum of Classic Chicago. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through this. I don't really think much more.
Much more came out of those leads?
No, because the post would have been updated.
I wonder if it wasn't maybe... As well.
Yeah, what you were saying, someone came across it. Someone in the Doe Network who looked similar. An unidentified female. Yeah, possibly. So fucking vague, I think.
Right. I wonder if, I mean, back in the day, if it was like a teenager missing, it would, a lot of the times it would be like, oh, they probably ran away, they'll turn up. And maybe the family, the people that were looking for Joanna were just like, nope, we're going to take this into our own hands and decided to ask a TV station. Mm-hmm. If it only played on one station... They could have very well have maybe just contacted that station specifically to see if they would air it and have been successful.
Yeah. Yeah. To try and get more of a spotlight, Blame It on George and Nexpo have both covered it on their YouTube channels. And I don't think anyone's been successful since then in identifying who this person is. Yeah, no, nothing.
Nothing.
It's very, very strange. But the fact that we don't even know, we only know this person exists from the worst quality photo I've ever seen in my life, and we have a name. We don't even know how old she is.
Right, like not even an age, not even a when this person was missing.
I know, it's insane. But that is the very obscure disappearance of Joanna Lopez. Hopefully she was found. Hopefully she's safe. Hopefully it's, you know... Hopefully the only mystery here is the mystery of, you know, what the fuck happened. And not, you know, what happened to her. Just what happened with this broadcast.
What happened with this photo? Who was responsible for the photo for this poster?
You're so fucking right. I want to know who was responsible for taking that photo. Oh my God, it's like... I've seen clearer photos of Mothman and Bigfoot.
Literally. There are clearer photos of Bigfoot.
Literally. It's absolute, like... The fact that they put out this photo in the hopes of people like identifying and seeing this person. No offense, if I saw someone walking down the street and they matched that photo,
I wouldn't be able to tell.
Oh, if someone matched this photo perfectly and they were walking down the street, I'd fucking scream because that is an alien. That is a fucking alien. That's not human. I'm sorry.
Afraid.
No, that's not human.
I don't know. It's definitely like, you know, a creepypasta for our modern age, now that it's gotten so kind of so much traction, so much visibility.
Yeah. It's very much just in that period of time where information was available enough that we still have these recordings and this is documented as the thing that actually happened. But just before everything was interconnected enough and recorded as well, that we don't know anything more than that. All we have is the, you know, this blurry photos and this like technological sort of middle ground where we know about it, but the technology wasn't there for us to have more details. Because I feel like these days, something like this couldn't happen. You couldn't accidentally get, like, people would catch it. People would be asking on fucking Twitter about it.
Right. It would get a lot more. It would get a lot more.
There would be a paper trail.
Mm-hmm. And now it's just so much easier to know what station is posting what. Like, where did this come from? Because we have, like, everything electronically.
Yeah.
Recorded.
This one's really fascinating to me. I really hope that Joanna is safe and okay. But the thing that fascinates me most is just that no one seems to know anything about this fucking
girl. Like, she just card. No record.
No record of what happened. How the fuck this got on a TV station all night long? Like, what the fuck? Because that couldn't happen today. Those sort of, like, it's like the Max Headroom TV hijacking.
Right. Like, that would never happen today, because anybody, and if it happened, like, internally, they would know just by, like, login information, key fobs, stuff like that. I mean, and now technology is so advanced that, like, just a regular layperson wouldn't be able to get on the air like that.
But, like, a real technological sort of mystery aren't happening anymore. The only ones that happen are like fake fucking ARG things,
right?
You know, like, I don't know, it interests me, but I really do hope that Joanna's okay. I like to end a true crime sort of case by going, if anyone knows any information, please come forward. Which, sure, I'll say that, but I'm not gonna say if you've seen Joanna Lopez, because this is from 1989, and
I won't believe you.
If you can identify someone from that photo, good fucking luck to your babes. Like, honestly.
If you are Joanna Lopez and you're listening to this, hit us up. We'll keep your secret safe. We're cool.
Yeah, we'll keep it quiet.
Want closure.
We won't tell. Give us the goss. Give us the drama. Yeah. Come on, Joanna.
I promise, girl. Pinky swear.
Honestly. Just, we'll have a cheeky chat, yeah? Nothing will be... We're not fucking journalists.
No, exactly.
We're not going to put it in the fucking Guardian. We can't be arsed.
We're no narcs.
Precisely. But yeah, part of me wonders whether it was ever real.
You think it was just maybe somebody doing a goof, since it was just a one-day thing?
I don't think it's a fake broadcast, because it's Fuzzy Memories TV. They're quite reliable. This isn't the kind of thing they would do for a laugh. And a lot of people are like, I remember seeing it. People say that about everything, but
right.
I believe it's real. I don't think it was a hoax, but I wonder whether they had a mock-up sort of test missing person card, like a resource they could edit. Like, they had this. I know that's a weird photo, but you know,
maybe they just had a picture just lying around somewhere.
Yeah, or maybe they didn't have a picture. Maybe they just photocopied a picture and just whacked it on there. They didn't care that it was a bit grainy. If anything, they were happy about that, because it was just a placeholder, and it was like one of the staff members, it was the fucking intern, and she was like, I don't want my actual face on there. They're like, Joanna fucking Lopez, whack a phone number. The only thing that I think would throw that into doubt is the phone number being too specific, because it's specifically for
the youth division.
What was it? Yeah, the youth division of the Chicago Police Department. But maybe that was... a number that they already know. I don't know.
Maybe if it was like a template, maybe that was just the number that was the
maybe
base
it was
number.
The template they were provided with. But yeah, I'm wondering whether it was either a test card that they had mocked up, or like a template that they could then make missing person reports from and accidentally edit. Because I still think, and I don't think a lot of people think this, but I think the airing in 1991, it only said 1991, I can't get an actual date. But I think considering they only showed it for 10 seconds, no audio, and then they played like the off-air test card, I am wondering if it was a mistake. They just put out the wrong test card.
Right. Honestly, you know? I think that it was probably the second time it was probably a mistake. Just because quickly it was taken down. That's what kind of like it was
and
just like a
replaced with a test card.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second one I am very sure must have been fuck up. But the first one, I don't know. If you've left it on all night, I suppose maybe someone realised when they got home, oh shit, I put the wrong test card on. Oh well, no one's going to identify anyone based on that fucking photo.
Right. Maybe. I think that would be like the best case scenario.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe it was never, maybe she was never real. Maybe there is no Joanna Lopez. But obviously that's just speculation and that's not something we can prove. I think people have been in contact with WMAQ and they're like, oh, we ain't got a fucking clue, babes.
Right, how would you even be able to keep track of something? Like, that's just another day of the week for them. Because it's like signing off every single day.
They may well have logs and things of their news stories and stuff they air. Maybe they may well have records of saying, we were asked to air this by the juvenile division of the Chicago Police Department, you know. But it would be in a fucking archive box in a fucking storage unit if they had the record. Like, they're under no obligation to keep those records
right.
for that and long.
If they even had a record, if it didn't get taped over, because that's what a lot of news places did, they would just tape over old tapes.
But even, like, I mean, like, paper logs, like, keeping paperwork from back fucking then, it would be paperwork. It would be an actual bit of paper in a folder, in a Polly Pocket, in a fucking banker's box, in an archive box, in a
dungeon under a mountain.
Yeah, in an archive somewhere. Like, it's not like now where you can just
Google
something up. Would they?
Yeah.
There's no would fucking WMAQ have gone to the effort of digitizing their archives? Something that probably wasn't necessary. Like, probably not.
No, not with the letters W, M, A, and Q. Those are like, is fine, but the rest of them, those are like the leftover letters.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think anyone, if the police don't have, not that I'm saying the police are competent, let's be real. They're anything but, they are required to keep fucking paperwork. And if someone's gone to the effort of getting this mock-up made and getting it aired on a local TV station...
There's got to be a folder
not local,
somewhere.
Local. This is like the Chicago-based news channel. Like, this is...
The news channel for, like, probably the greater Chicago area.
Yeah, it's not like the shitty public access. Oh, here's... Is for bumfuck nowhere. It is like for the whole of Chicago. Like, if you've gone to the effort of contacting them, and they were and are owned by NBC, they're like an NBC affiliate.
Oh.
If you've gone to the effort of contacting the local NBC station and been like, can you air this, please? I feel like you'd have recorded it somewhere. I feel like there'd be a record. And the fact there isn't just seems weird. Is it, I don't think the police are that competent, but if someone was competent enough to make that call, send that photo, then I think they would have done the paperwork as well. I think the kind of person who would contact the WMAQ would also do the paperwork. You know what I mean?
Right. Or at the very least, call somebody. Somebody had to have known, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Very odd. But then, I suppose it depends, you know, what the fuck happened to this, the youth division of the Chicago Police Department. I assume they still have a youth division, but that number isn't active anymore. They changed their number, so, like, did the department move? Were things changed?
Right, is there even that department anymore? Is it called something else?
Exactly. It may well have been shut down or, like, absorbed by another department, you know, merged with somewhere else.
Right.
Fuck knows. Fuck knows the internal bureaucracy of fucking Chicago Police Department. But, yeah, unfortunately, we don't know and may never know what happened to Joanna Lopez. If she's real, I hope she's safe. If she's not real, then you got me, girl. good on ya. And if she's an alien, which her fucking photo suggests, then, like, have fun on the moon or whatever the hell you're doing, love. Honestly. Girl boss.
Girl boss, indeed. My
girl
god.
Fucking boss.
I'm like...
Right. You're like...
I'm like, literally, this whole time I've been recording, I've just been, like, looking at the door, scared that Joanna Lopez is gonna come in. Just...
She could do. She made
it. The picture, just, like, for real, like, sometimes I'll be, like, you know, I'll get up in the middle of the night, and I'll just, like, suddenly remember the picture, and I'm like, oh my god, no, I have to go to bed. I can't get up to drink water. I can't get up to pee. I gotta just close my eyes, or
Joanna's gonna get you.
She very well could.
She could. They never found her, because everyone who saw her didn't live to tell the tale. That's the truth.
Oh my god. Well, if she gets me, I will have closure, having seen her. And then at least I'll be fine. The rest of you are on your own.
The full news bulletin read, missing. If seen, make sure she stays that way. Don't let her back into society. She's dangerous. She's evil. Demon. Fuck it
out. Oh,
right. Well, let's wrap up unless you have any fun ghost stories to share.
Recently, the horrors of not my life are in the regular world.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. We don't talk about those horrors. Thank you for listening to Queer Streets. That's the note we're ending on. Thank you for listening to Queer Streets. If you enjoyed this episode, tell your mates and tell them we're fucking back again from hiatus number 2. It was shorter this time, so jot that one down. Please tell a friend. It really helps out. Please consider leaving us a rating or a review. Don't mention the hiatuses in the review. This is just season 3, okay? Our theme music was composed by Emily Glass, who you can find on Twitter at EmilyXGlass. I hope she hasn't changed her Twitter handle. Let me double check. No, she hasn't. She hasn't. Look at that. Oh, brilliant. to get all the updates about the show, you can follow us on Twitter. Our username is at Queerstrees. We were investigating a gnome recently.
I saw
if
that.
You want to I know, still investigating. I'm on the hunt. I've been hanging around near ponds looking for gnomes, you know, with the little fishing poles. If you want to follow us individually, I'm at Slamlia on Twitter. Charlie is Silvertonar, ST1. And Zar, you are?
I am at FatGayDragon on Twitter.
There you go, my lovelies. And thank you so much to Zar, friend of the pod, and frequent guest host for stepping in while Charlie's been feeling under the weather. We hope you feel better soon, Charlie.
Yes, I really hope Charlie feels better soon. I can't wait to hear you guys start talking again, and I'm always happy to join in and discuss some spooky stories with you.
Very lovely having you. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye!
Bye!